Hi, can you guys hear me okay? Sweet, good morning. Good to see everybody here. I know last week, Sunday was kind of crazy with Mother's Day and the weather and everything has been kind of extreme, but it's good to see everybody here. Good to see those of you that I haven't been able to see in a minute. If you don't mind, we'll go ahead and get started with a word of prayer and then we'll get right into the lesson. Dear God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, to be surrounded by the family of believers, to be surrounded by this great support system that you've given to us so that we don't have to walk through life alone and we don't have to face the trials and difficulties of this earth without companions at our side encouraging us. God, we pray that today as we study your word, we do so with the right mindset, that we do so in submission to you, that we seek your will, not our own, knowing that your ways are above our ways and your thoughts are above our thoughts. God, help us to have not just open ears, but open hearts, and allow your word to transform our lives to be more like that of your Son. We thank you for everything. We thank you for the answered prayers. We thank you most of all for Jesus and the sacrifice he made on the cross so that we can have this relationship with you. It's in his name we pray. Amen. All right. Today we are finishing the series, Things You May Have Heard in Church. We took a little break from it last week to talk about Hannah and the role of a godly mother and her great example. But this week we're going to be finishing up the Things You May Have Heard in Church series. And if you guys remember, or if you weren't here for it, I'll remind you. What we're basically doing is looking at statements that you may have heard in church, where the name comes from, things that you may have heard from either a church leader, a preacher, maybe a YouTube channel, Facebook, or even your own thoughts. And we're taking those statements and we're just comparing them against Scripture and seeing what does the Bible actually say. And just because we're ending the series doesn't mean we stop doing this. Anytime you hear someone talk, do what we've done with these lessons. You hear what they say, but don't just blindly believe it. Don't just take it and say, okay, I'm accepting that because it came from a church or a religious figure. Make sure you check what everyone is saying against Scripture. Check what everyone is saying against God's Word, including and especially me, because I'm wrong about things all the time. So make sure that you're holding people accountable and holding them to the Word. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Again, all Scripture is inspired by God. Not all things you hear at church, not all things said in a sermon, not all things that even come from your own mind, but all Scripture is inspired by God. So that's what we're doing today. And the statement we're looking at today is that Christians should be open-minded. Christians should be open-minded. Our world has many gods and many idols that they worship. But one of those things that our culture loves so much is the idea of tolerance. You should tolerate other beliefs and other worldviews. Our culture can actually tolerate anything except, ironically, intolerance. They can't tolerate intolerance. People on the regular are praised for being open-minded. And on the flip side, they're criticized for being closed-minded. Or narrow-minded, as one might say. And refusing to have any strong opinions or beliefs, especially on controversial topics, is seen as noble. And sitting on the fence is almost seen as sitting in a place of honor, because you're so humble that you refuse to take a side. You're just so humble and so noble that you don't have an opinion. Meanwhile, having strong convictions, especially those seen as old-fashioned or outdated, makes you arrogant. How dare you claim to know anything? So people like you being open-minded because you say something is true. If you say it's absolutely true, you're saying other beliefs are false. I'm sure you guys have seen this picture before, maybe on bumper stickers and things like that that coexist. And this is a popular movement. It's not new. I mean, it's been around for a minute now. But the goal of the movement was to embrace tolerance for all belief systems, recognizing other religions or ideologies as equally valid. And you shouldn't force your beliefs on anyone. We should all just coexist. Let the Jewish guy be Jewish. Let the Christian guy be Christian. Let the Buddhist guy be Buddhist. Let the atheist be an atheist. Everybody do their own thing, and let's all just tolerate each other. They're okay with you practicing Christianity and doing Christian things, so long as you do it mostly in the privacy of your own home, and as long as you don't force those beliefs on others. But if you say you're right, and another religion or another worldview is wrong, you're seen as bigoted. You're seen as hateful. You're seen as arrogant. Believe whatever you want to believe, they'll say, as long as you don't say it's the absolute truth. And while the world has been saying this, it has affected the church and even the way Christians, well-meaning Christians, interact. Many Christians now hold their faith loosely. They hold their faith or their belief in God with an open mind. And what that means is they refuse to have a strong conviction for their beliefs or make strong statements about the absolute wrong or rightness of something because they don't want to be called closed-minded. So people will say, I believe in God, I think. Or I believe in God, but I'm going to keep an open mind. Don't worry, I'm not one of those Bible-thumping Christians who says they're the only ones going to heaven or anything like that. I'll be open-minded. I'll be humble. I put my entire faith and trust in Jesus, but if you want to follow Muhammad, you do that. Or if you want to be Jewish, you know, you do that. Who am I to say? I have an open mind, right? The question is this how we're supposed to be? Is this the way God wants us to hold our faith in Christ loosely, with an open mind where it might fall out at any moment? Should we keep an open mind and avoid making absolute statements? So today we're going to look at Scripture to answer that question. But before we do, I just want you to think about this logically. Is it narrow-minded and bigoted to just make a statement about truth? Answer that question for yourself. Is it narrow-minded to say that something is true? For example, if I say 2 plus 2 is 4, you guys can say, yes, that's true. Now, because I said that's true, I just said 2 plus 3 is not 4. I just said 2 plus 1 is not 4. And we understand it when it comes to math. We say that's ridiculous. 2 plus 2 is 4. But then when it comes to actually more important things, like the God of this world, will say, well, no, you can't say there's a right answer. There can be a right answer for you, but you have to understand that it's open to interpretation. If I say George Washington was the first president of the United States, I'm saying every other person throughout history was not the first president of the United States. That's not narrow-minded. It's not bigoted. It's just making a truth claim. Truth in its very nature is exclusive. Truth is by nature different than things that are not true. So it doesn't make you narrow-minded to just say that something is true or say that something is false. If it does make you narrow-minded, maybe narrow-minded isn't a bad thing because we have to live our life this way. Imagine if you treated other relationships with this open-minded approach. I love my spouse. I love this marriage. I promise to love you. I promise to take care of you. I promise to be faithful to you, spouse. But I'm open-minded, so who knows? Maybe tomorrow I'll change my mind. I'm open-minded. I'm not one of those who thinks they know everything. Or if you think that eating rat poison is deadly and you shouldn't do it, but you don't want to come across as closed-minded, so you say, well, that's just how I feel about it. I may change my mind. Or you may say, beating up grandmas at Walmart is morally wrong, but I'm open-minded, right? You see, it's ridiculous, right? It doesn't make any sense. We can't actually take this idea into the real world, which even the world doesn't do this. What they do is they say it's okay to be closed-minded about things that we all agree on. But the second we disagree, now you need to be open-minded. Now you need to accept other beliefs. Typically any belief but Christianity. And when you refuse to believe in something, when you live your life this way, refusing to hold to a set of things you believe, you end up believing anything. If you don't close your mind, to some extent, anything can infiltrate your mind. G.K. Chesterton said, when men choose not to believe in God, they do not thereafter believe in nothing. They then become capable of believing in anything. If you take God out, now I don't have any standard to judge truth by. I don't have any standard to figure out what's right, what's wrong? How do I do this? And I leave myself vulnerable to believe anything culture tells me to believe or to believe anything that's whispered into my ear. J.K. Chesterton. I want him to change his name because I like his quotes, but I don't like saying his name. G.K. Chesterton, also said, merely having an open mind is nothing. The object of opening the mind is of opening the mouth. It is to shut it again on something solid. The point of opening your mind is when you get new evidence, but then you don't leave it open. You close it again on what you find to be true. The point of opening it is the same as opening a mouth, to close it again on what is good. Walking around with your brain open, refusing to strongly hold any beliefs, is not noble, it's not humble, it's ignorant. It doesn't make any sense. You should open your mind to consider evidence, but after critically evaluating the evidence, close your mind again on the truth, whether it was what you already believed or what you now know to be true because of the evidence that you've considered. Again, it doesn't matter what this guy said, I just like the way he said it. But what does God say? Jesus, in John 14:6, says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is making an objectively true statement. He's making a claim that is either true or false. And he's making a statement that many people today would consider to be closed-minded. People like Oprah who say, hey, God's just too big. You have all these different paths to him. But Jesus is making a narrow-minded, a closed statement, a true or false statement. So if Jesus says he's the only way to God, but Muhammad says, no, that's not true, or an atheist says, no, that's not true, one of them can be right, but they can't both be right. They can't both be accurate. If I say I'm married or I'm single, one of those statements is true and one of those is false. And it's not narrow-minded to say one is true or one is false. And you can be wrong about something, but it doesn't make you narrow-minded. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Seek and you will find. The purpose of seeking or the purpose of searching for something is so that you can find it. And when we're commanded throughout Scripture to seek after truth, God's not telling us to go on a witch hunt where you're not going to find anything. He's not sending us on a journey that's not going to result in anything. He's sending us to a place that exists. Truth is real. Objective truth exists, and it is able to be found. We don't just seek truth because it's fun, but because it's obtainable. God doesn't want us to believe in anything and have our minds change as the wind blows. And while it's popular to have an open mind, the Bible actually teaches us in a lot of situations to be somewhat skeptical, to approach different situations with a healthy amount of doubt and skepticism. So quickly, I want to look at three types of people that the Bible says that we should be skeptical of. You don't just have an open mind. You thoughtfully consider what they have to say. You thoughtfully consider what they have to teach you. And then you decide whether or not it's true. So first, Christians should be skeptical, doubting a little bit, of the world. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So Paul says, hey, the world's saying a lot of things. Don't fall for it. Don't be tricked. Because what Jesus has to say is good and acceptable and perfect. There's a standard there. One is good, one is true, one is perfect, and one is not. And you have the responsibility to figure out which is which and not go along with one just for the sake of open-mindedness. 1 John 5:19-20 says, we know that we are from God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ, he is the true God and eternal life. He is the true God. If Jesus is just an option, then we've wasted our lives. If Jesus is just one of many different things and he's not really true, you can't actually build your faith on him. You have to close your mind around the person of Jesus, latch on to him, or reject him, because he doesn't leave room to be an option. He is either the option or he's lying. And that's the only two scenarios. So Christians should be skeptical of the world, of the things that the world says. Second, Christians should be skeptical of those who claim to speak for God. Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Jesus said there will be those who claim to speak for God, but they're lying. They're insincere. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. And if you hold no firm beliefs, you're going to be vulnerable to these things. You're going to be vulnerable to their false teaching if you don't firmly hold any beliefs. You should have an open mind to an extent, but Jesus says to be aware or be skeptical because there are people who aren't telling the truth. And when he makes the statement that these people are false prophets, he's making again a claim that there is true and there is false. And these people are on the false side. And Jesus wants us to know the truth and cling to it. Galatians 1:6-9, Paul is talking to the Galatians and he says this, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you have received, let him be accursed." So Paul uses the same type of argument as Jesus did. It doesn't matter who they say they are, and it doesn't even matter who they are. If they're an apostle or an angel, if they preach something contrary to the gospel that Jesus had given them, something that they knew to be true, it's to be rejected. He didn't tell them, hey, when false prophets come, have an open mind. Hear them out, right? He didn't say have an open mind, don't reject them entirely. He says run from it. They're like wolves in sheep's clothing. Now Paul says, people that do this, let them be accursed. Avoid them entirely. It's not bigoted. It's not closed-minded. It's just rejecting things that aren't true because it's not good for you. Two of the major religions in the world today that we face are Islam and Mormonism. And these religions share many similarities. Both are started long after Jesus' death. Both started by men who practice polygamy and racism. Both describe Jesus in a different way than the Bible does, denying that he is the Almighty God. But most importantly, both of these claim to have been started by a situation where a man encounters an angel. Whether it's Joseph Smith encountering an angel or it's Muhammad encountering an angel. And these men taught things after encountering these angels, allegedly, contrary to what Jesus and the apostles taught. Personally, I think Joseph Smith and Muhammad are full of it. I don't think they saw a thing. I don't think an angel came and talked to him. But even if they did, let's say the angels did come and speak to them. According to Paul, what should the response have been? I'm not going to believe you because you're preaching a gospel contrary to that which I have received, contrary to the gospel that Jesus gave us. It's not being bigoted to say I reject this. It's not being hateful to say I reject this. It's just being critical and skeptical and trusting what God has revealed to be true. God wants us to be skeptical of those who claim to speak for God and reject those who say things contrary to what God has already said. Having an open mind in the way the world wants us to would mean that a lot of false doctrine would get into our brains. Acts 17, verses 10 through 11, you see a really good example of this. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. This is a perfect example of how we should be. They had the apostle Paul talking to them, the guy who's written most of the New Testament that we study all the time, but they didn't even trust him entirely. They listened to him. They were eager to hear what he had to say, but they searched the scriptures to make sure that what he said did not contradict what God had said. They checked him with scripture. They were skeptical to make sure that what he said was accurate with scripture. So Christians should be skeptical of the world. Christians should be skeptical of those who claim to speak for God. But Christians should also be skeptical of themselves, of the input that comes not from external places, but even from internal places. Proverbs 3:5-7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. He says, don't trust the world. Don't trust people who claim to speak for God. But also don't trust yourself. You're not a reliable source. If you've ever been writing a page or writing an essay in high school or college or something like that, are you allowed to cite Wikipedia as a source? You know, I mean, you might do it. Your teacher's going to laugh at you because it's not a credible source. It's not a reliable source. It's something that anyone could make up. And when we cite ourselves as the source for something, we're citing a source that is not credible. It's maybe worse than Wikipedia to go to ourselves. But that's what we do. If I want to know what's right and wrong, I just ask myself, do I like it or do I not like it? And if I don't like it, it's wrong. But if I like it, it's good. And God says, no, don't do that. Don't trust in your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? If you can't even understand your own thoughts, why would you rely on your own thoughts to guide you? So don't have an open mind even to your own input. If you feel an inclination to do something, don't just blindly accept it. Say, you know what, let me think about this. Let me consider it against Scripture and see if this is what God has given to us. Okay, so we should be honest truth seekers who are seriously considering the evidence and allow ourselves to be changed by it. We should not walk through life with our brains hanging open, though, allowing any belief to come in and go without heavy consideration. We should be skeptical and turn to God for guidance when deciding what we believe. All views are not equally valid. All views are not equally true. They cannot be. 2 + 2 is not the same as 2 + 3. Mormonism and Islam are not the same as Christianity, and rat poison is not the same as water. Open your mind only again to close it on what you find to be true. And I just want to point out, messages like this that our culture sends us seem noble. Like, our culture wants us to be tolerant, and they make it seem as that's a really, really good thing to do. But tolerance is easy, and it's such a low bar. I can tolerate almost anyone just by not being too close to them. You know, if you're bothering me, I'll tolerate you, and I'll just move a little bit further back, right? I tolerate it. And that's what our culture wants us to do, is tolerate each other. But God calls us to do so much more than tolerate our neighbor. The greatest command was not love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and tolerate your neighbor, right? That's not what God called us to. And while that's what the world wants us to do, is just tolerate each other, God wants us to love our neighbor. And if we love our neighbor, truly care about their needs, we are not going to sit by and watch them believe something that is detrimental to them, that is not true. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to coexist in the way that the world wants us to, where you let them march straight to hell and do nothing about it. That's not love. That's tolerance, but Jesus did not come to teach tolerance. It may result, if you're telling someone the truth, even if you do it in love, it may result in you being called a bigot. It may result in you being called closed-minded or any of these things, but that's what real love is. So should Christians be open-minded? To an extent. Be open to evidence, be open to Scripture, but be skeptical of the world, be skeptical of yourself, and be skeptical of all of those who claim to speak for God. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for your Scripture that you've given to us. Something that we can rely on and trust instead of just relying on our own hearts. We know that our hearts are broken and they take us to places that we don't want to go, take us to places that are bad for us, take us to places of sin and death. And God, we just ask you to help guide us. Help us to trust in you. Help us to rely on you. And help us to seek your wisdom rather than our own. God, as we leave here today and we go out into our communities and our families and our workplaces and our schools, we know we're going to encounter people that don't believe in you, that have not put their faith in you. Help us to have those difficult conversations with them. Give us the courage. And help us to be gentle and loving in those ways, the same way that you would have been. But don't ever let us just tolerate it. Help us to be brave enough to speak the truth, even when it's not popular, and even when it's going to rub some people the wrong way. God, we thank you so much, again, for all the things you've done for us. But we thank you most of all for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. I want to thank all of you guys for coming again. Appreciate you being here. If you guys have any needs from the church, whether you need prayers, you need somebody to talk to, if there's questions you have about the Bible that you want to study, we're a resource here for you. We want to help you with those things. There are no dumb questions. Just be brave enough to ask the questions, especially about the Bible. It's the most important questions you can ask. And if you know what you need to do to become a Christian, you can do that now as we stand and sing.